Welcome everybody here. We are here for one discussion. Actually, there is one little thing that is hanging around, and that's a topic that we discovered at Freedom Not Fear. And who's we? We are a Fedi Variety, a collective of people who really were attracted by the powerful speech from the professor, I call him, Mr.
Wojciech Wyborowski, the European Data Protection Supervisor.
All right. So from the European Data Protection Supervisor, the people who are taking care about the European institutes, are there more people? And actually, next to me here is Robert Riemann. He's the project manager of one of the pilot projects that we saw there, and that has to do with the Fediverse. Now, the thing there was, we as a collective, we saw this powerful speech and this call for action to make sure, actually, that we address ourselves to the people in power to put more effort and energy in more Fediverse integration in the public administration. So that's mainly our topic. So why or who killed the internet doesn't really matter to us. We all know, since the speeches we had from, for instance, at this conference, Rob Gongrijp, I'm talking about 25, 26, 27 C3, that we all know, whoa, we lost something and we want to gain it back. And mainly the topic there is how to get it back. It's that we are a collective, and what is this value? Is the Fediverse Activity Pub give us the possibilities to run our communication ourselves. And now I'm looking here at someone from our team, Vishni, as well. Yeah. She has a list of questions, actually, that we can address to Mr. Robert Riemann. And he's going to explain us about what this pilot actually is, what the status is, what the importance could be. And we would love to have your attention and actually your participation in a matter that we will learn from you how to take action, how to make this all possible. Because we all share that belief. Where do we start, Vishni?
I think we should start with the question to Robert Riemann. Was the head of, or is the head still, of the pilot project EU Voice and EU Data that integrated Fediverse instances, namely Mastodon and PeerTube, into EU institutions. And we would like to know first, how did this project emerge, and how did it go, and what can we learn from it?
So thank you very much for having me. Maybe I start quickly with the introduction of what the EDPS, the European Data Protection Supervisor, actually is. The rules on data protection require that the entire public service is basically covered by some data protection authority. In Germany, there are even several doing that for the different levels of the public administration. And when all member states take care of their national data protection, of their national public service, then the EU institutions are still left over. And this is why there had to be a European data protection supervisor who's solely responsible for the supervision of the EU institutions themselves. That means the European Parliament, the European Council, but also other organizations like Frontex or Europol. On top, the European Data Protection Supervisor is also responsible for advising the co-legislators, the European Council and the European Parliament, whenever they want to enact a new legislation that concerns personal data. And then there's also a role of monitoring of new technology in order to inform the civil society, the legislators on new developments with respect to technology that can impact our personal data. And when I arrived at the European Data Protection Supervisor's office as a technologist in 2017, we started working on website audits. That means the pages that the EU institutions create themselves to be transparent to the civil society, to other organizations on their work. But already back then, of course, social media was a very important element, but it is so different that we excluded that element from those audits back then. And then there was always a question, yeah, what do we do with the social media platforms that are so different from ordinary websites when it comes to the publication of information? They're so much more interactive, they're very popular, and they also create a lot of concerns when it comes to the processing of personal data. And in order to not always blame without having a solution ready, which is what often happens when data protection authorities are criticizing processing, there was this idea at the European Data Protection Supervisor to use a mandate to monitor and verify whether or not the Fediverse could offer a solution that is more data protection friendly and can bridge basically or fill the gap of the websites that are not very interactive, while still putting the institutions in full control. And therefore, with a team of three people, we decided to set up on a European server, PeerTube and Mastodon. And it was obvious already that if we already do such an effort, it would be sad if only we would have one single account of the EDPS itself. And this is why we went through all the procedures to obtain neutral domains that end on europa.eu, which is the official domain of all the EU institutions, so that also other organizations in the within the EU institutions could participate in this pilot phase and also request an account to do their tests. And before going live, and I think this was in May 2021, if I'm not wrong, we only tried to secure some support so that we would have an opening to the public with already several accounts. And we were very happy to see that the Court of Justice decided to participate in this pilot project from the outset with an account with English content and another account with French content. Also the European Commission with DigiDigit, but also with their main account, have been very early on participating in this endeavor. And there were a few more accounts.
The EU Commission has a quite big following on Mastodon as well. It's like almost 92,000 followers, I think.
So the European Commission, I guess, is one of the EU institutions who have the highest visibility. There's a lot of interest in what the European Commission is doing, and in terms of staff, they're also the largest. So we are not very surprised to see that they have the most followers. But there were moments where, I think the first few days, where the European Data Protection Supervisor had more followers on EU Voice and then the European Commission, and we all celebrated that moment, of course. Unfortunately, that lasted only for several days, and then the European Commission indeed had obtained a large followership on EU Voice.
So, how did you actually make it work that this is a cross-institutional project?
So there's some cooperation amongst the EU institutions when it comes to branding. I mean, it's also a matter of bundling resources and not reinventing the wheel several times. There are projects that are done together across EU institutions for a long time already. I remember, I think every year, October, November, there's the Cybersecurity Week in which all EU institutions have publications on that topic. And so there is there's a working party in which most of the institutions and agencies are represented, where they discuss common questions, including the use of social media, and including the use of common property like the europa.eu domain. And we went into this working party in order to propose this project, for which we wanted to use two subdomains to the europa.eu subdomain, to the europa.eu domain. One for the use of EU Voice, which is the branding that we use for the Mastodon server of the EU institutions, and the other one, EU Video. So it's a tube.network.europa.eu that would host then our PeerTube server. My idea with the proposition of using the Tube subdomain was actually that we could call it EUTube.
YouTube.
Very similar to another very large video platform. Yeah. Unfortunately, nobody else thought this would be a very good idea, and this is why eventually the name so far is EU Video. Yeah, and as part of this, it was a project proposal from the European Data Protection Supervisor to do this in pilot. So we had some discussions of what would be the domain. So obviously, social.europa.eu would have been a nice fit. But then there were other organizations that said there is also social policy, and these people were much more acquainted with social policy than with the Fediverse. And so back then it was decided to rather reserve the domain for the time being, social.europa.eu, for other content so far. And we will see how this will go on in the future, because the proposal was clear that this is just a pilot phase in order to obtain whether it is possible to use the Fediverse for a communication platform between the institutions and the citizens. That pilot phase is basically concluded, and there are many people who are convinced that this was a rather successful pilot, and the next steps would be to plan for the production phase.
And what is the next step then? What is happening? Because it's finishing now, the pilot phase.
So we are in a very awkward situation, that everyone agrees that this was a useful pilot phase, and this is some technology that we want to use in the future. And now we are at the stage where we need to determine who will operate this platform in production. And if nobody is found, then the pilot phase is closing without having a continuation. Mm-hmm. And the European Data Protection Supervisor holds the opinion that we are supervising the others in the operation of IT. It would put us in a conflict of interest if now the supervisor would emerge as the IT provider for the institutions. Of course, for the institutions, this would be very pragmatic. So whenever we propose something, it will certainly be data protection friendly and not cause any compliance issues for them. But this is why also the team that is currently responsible for EU Voice is very clear that it cannot be a permanent solution to offer, as the data protection supervisor, IT services to other organizations. And
so the continuation is not just financially something really heavily, but more responsibility.
The thing that would interest me about that is that we see this a lot, that data protection public authorities are spearheading Fediverse instances. And for me, the question would be, if these organizations become kind of temporarily infrastructure providers, how would that change their structure and their mandate? Because at the moment, you're there to do data protection and not to provide.
Exactly. I mean, there's no way around. I mean, public institutions cannot overstep their mandate. That's something very important, and would also put especially data protection authorities, who are in the end of the day auditing compliance of other organizations, in a difficult situation. So for piloting, it is easy to understand that there can be a mandate for such an exercise. But once that the pilot phase is over, it is also clear that the data protection authorities can at best operate the IT infrastructure for their very own needs, like every organization is taking care for their own needs. But there was always the idea that already all the EU institutions decided jointly to use the Twitter platform, and they're united with many institutions using the same Twitter platform. And it would be awkward if we would not have that unity when it comes to the Fediverse. So this is why for the European Data Protection Supervisor, it was always a goal to have a common representation in the Fediverse. And also one has to understand that not every EU institution is large and has a lot of staff to take care of this. So especially for the smaller organizations, and here I want to include the European Data Protection Supervisor, it would be nice to rely on other organizations providing Fediverse services to us. So this is why one hope is...
How do you see this? Which kind of organizations you're mentioning?
I mean, there are, for some processing operations, there are particular EU agencies who don't do anything else. When it comes to the communication, there's already the European Union Publications Office, who is also publishing the official laws. One could argue now that the Fediverse is not so different from what publications offices were responsible for, and now the publications offices, not only on EU level, but possibly also on member state level, would need to evolve and understand that we have now other publication needs that go further than putting PDFs on a FTP server, mm-hmm. but that we want to have a Fediverse service. In the end, the publications office is very closely connected to the European Commission. And therefore, the European Data Protection Supervisor has been in the past negotiating and discussing mostly with the European Commission whether, as the largest EU institutions, they could take over the responsibility for such a joint Fediverse server open to all other EU institutions. But we don't know yet what, there's no outcome yet, so we do not have the answer for the Commission. We hope that there will be one early next year.
I think I would like to open this maybe a bit broader question to the mm-hmm. audience here in the room as well. So if you think of Fediverse integration or any kind of, you want to communicate or see public communication, who do you think should be responsible? Who do you think should take this kind of over, as in maybe as a digital commons project? How is it, do you have other projects in your country that are similar, that you think are good, or what would your ideas around that be? So if you think of questions, we're very happy to just take them along while we talk. So
we have one hand.
Yeah, so for the question, who should host this content, isn't there like already a responsible body which like hosts all of the websites and PDF files and other infrastructure that's like connected to the internet? Maybe that would be a good entry point to also be responsible for hosting the Fediverse software.
I mean, for official publications, it is the Publications Office, which is an entity on which many organizations can rely on. That means if the Parliament has an important publication, this will also be taken care of by the Publications Office. That could be a natural step, but at the moment, the thinking in the Publications Office is rather there's the official journey, and we host this, and maybe we have the annual activity report once a year that we also publish. But so far, no publication office is looking into interactive content or something like microblogging. Even when it comes to video platforms, there is no clear solution. So what we see is that all the larger organizations who can afford it run their own video platforms, and the smaller ones are either putting video on directly on their website, which has less features and is maybe more difficult for them, or they just use YouTube. That also happens in the public sector quite often still. And it is so far difficult to convince a publication offices that they could change their mandate and also have more short-term content or multimedia content as well in their mandate.
To try and provide a sort of answer to the who should host this, a lot of countries all over the world had a moment in which it was inevitable to ignore something like broadcast television and had to build national infrastructure and work with standards associations across the globe to be able to do things like the Olympics or, yeah, any sort of large-scale event that requires massive international coordination, or Eurovision, etc. Mm-hmm. I think it is beholden to us as citizens or as experts to make it clear that another inevitable moment regarding online infrastructure is happening, and that there should be a similar effort put into creating national infrastructure systems, because it is of public importance. That would be my proposal, so to say, which is to put pressure on governing bodies to provide data labs and technicians and collaborate internationally to create open, interoperable standards that allow for this hosting.
does it, that jump us back in the ages that we decided then to have to come up with .coms and the .de and the .. You know, was that a good step to look at on a national basis? Like there are boundaries geographically. We're talking now about Europe, of course, with boundaries or not, but.
When we work with the Olympics or Eurovision or any kind of international broadcasting, we are capable of interoperability.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of the systems that we have for cinemas or broadcast are designed for. So it doesn't have to be constrained.
Okay. I mean, I think there's an agreement that it would be nice to have interoperable solutions, and with the Interoperable Europe Act, with the various digital acts passed by the Commission recently, and with GDPR, we see often that there are requirements on interoperability. But that still does not give us an answer who in the end has to put into place the software and take the responsibility for the operational business. And what I can tell you is that all member states want to assume a high independence from other member states in that regard. So I cannot imagine that the German government would host their account on a Fediverse server run by another national government, and so far I cannot even imagine it that they would accept to have it on a European Fediverse server. By the way, in Germany we have a very similar situation where the Fediverse movement was spearheaded by the Federal Data Protection Authority, who is, as far as I know, still taking care of the operations of that service. And now, when it became more difficult, seeing the evolution of Twitter, to have an account over there, I think many ministries are now very happy that they have this offer to just quickly create an account on the federal public service run by the data protection authorities, while still the question is not clarified for them either. Who will run the national German Fediverse server for in production, because also they are a data protection authority who should not become an infrastructure provider for the federal government in Germany. And I think here, to get back to your question, there is no discussion whether the protocol is not interoperable enough. It is just poorly deciding who puts the budget in the end and who takes care of the responsibility to keep that service online 24/7. And I think one of the problems that we have here is that people are afraid of taking this responsibility because they have seen how complicated this can be. Platforms such as Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. So there were rumors that some people in the institutions were planning already to have tens of staff members doing the moderation of the content of the official service. But from my perspective, if there would be only official accounts on such an official server, who would then take care of the moderation of the comments? And I would assume that this is now on the charge of the servers where the users have their accounts, which is not the official governmental server. And because of these many new concepts that the Fediverse introduces, and because of the many questions that we still do not have clarified on the responsibilities when it comes to the conventional social media platforms, I think that people are afraid of taking over responsibility and then being overwhelmed with that responsibility.
I would like to make a brief comment in that regard, because I think we are tackling a key question here. That is the actual, let's say, social needs that we expect as citizens, but also that institutions expect from the larger citizens when it comes to social media. So when it's about traditional social media, I believe European institutions still are expecting something from the citizens, basically. But when it comes to the Fediverse, does one specific user or account inside the European institutions expect to have the same kind of audience and to use that specific platform in the same way as other traditional social media or not?
I mean, I think this is now the question to the citizens and not to the government. I can tell you that every government is very happy when they have many website visitors, a large audience. So when there is a discussion taking place between different ways of publishing, I think one of the criteria that receives the most attention is how many readers do we have at the end of the day, and we optimize for the largest reader base. I'm happy to hear more views on the question of what should citizens get from their governments. I will not be able to speak for national governments, neither for all the EU institutions. But I also believe that there are maybe too high expectations of the citizens sometimes, when I have the impression that people get easily upset when the government is not directly replying to an individual tweet or to a message on Instagram, where I then think of how many people would you need to employ as a government only on social media channel moderation to take care of all those messages that possibly citizens could submit there. Is that also sustainable?
They need to be answered. All questions need to be answered. That's actually...
And what people underestimate is the
heuristic,
the chain of responsibility. That means most often, if there is an interesting question that has not yet been answered, it's not a mere I just put here a question. That means someone needs to draft a reply or a line to take, if this is something that has never been decided before, and then it has to be proved through several layers. And that all takes a lot of time. Time in which, for instance, data protection authorities could not carry out audits. So that's also something that one has to consider. If citizens expect reactions on social media, it means we need public funding to pay those people who draft those answers. And so at the moment, all the public sector is short on money. I can tell you this is at least true for the EU institutions. And then we have to choose our priorities. I remember that there was another question in the back, please.
Yes, it's basically a comment. I'm wondering which European institution will most likely have the most capacity and also interest to interact with citizens. And I'm personally wondering if it wouldn't be maybe the European Parliament with the older parliamentarians, similar to how we have in Germany this Frag den Staat thing, that you know, people could directly interact with their representatives in the European Parliament. And if the European Parliament is running a Fediverse server for all their parliamentarians, this could be just the main server and all the institutions could just piggyback on that. Because I think offices, the various institutions, maybe they have not nearly as much communication need with citizens than the parliamentarians would have. Thank you.
So interestingly, the Parliament is one of the larger EU institutions who has not participated in the Fediverse project as an institution, though there are very few members of the European Parliament who had already before Fediverse accounts or who have a Fediverse account on EU Voice. I don't want to comment on which institution has the most urgent need to communicate to these citizens. When it comes to the European Parliament, it is often this way that the members have a lot of sovereignty to decide how they want to organize the communication of their office themselves. And this is why it is difficult to require members of a parliament to use certain channels. And if you now assume parliaments with over 700 people, you can imagine that it is quite complicated to agree on a common position or on a common server or how the server should be handled. And that's how I can imagine that the parliament has not yet decided whether they want to use the Fediverse or not. Generally, I think what is important to keep in mind is that there's no TV show exclusively for the EU institutions. There is not so much press exclusively for what is happening in EU institutions. That means for EU institutions, often because there are less intermediaries like the press who would help them to get the message across, they, I feel, are feeling a higher need to communicate directly with the citizens using the internet, and they use all the platforms that bring us the readers. Not sure if that answers your question. I hope it does. Any other questions?
What?
Did you want to take up a question? Okay, sure. We had so far only questions from people who I presume to be male. So some more diverse voices would be nice. So feel free. Nobody will bite you. I promise.
Actually, I'm wondering. We all know we have these elections coming up in 6 months. Where are we going to?
Where are we going indeed? We started out the questions like, who killed the internet? And I think a lot of people who are here in the room with us now are wondering, who killed the internet now? And what is the thing that we want to bring it back? That's the question that you posed. Right, and we see the downfall of Zitter at the moment, but we still see a lot of public institutions and political parties using it a lot, especially in terms of advertisement. And we just had the very high-profile case of the micro-targeting as well. And then we do kind of try to find refuge in decentralized options and alternatives, like the Fediverse. And now we have threats that's coming in. On the side as well, trying to integrate with the Fediverse,
mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see how people feel about that, and maybe also as a response, is like how do maybe from a public administration point of view is that seen, and open it to the audience, and it's like in kind of what kind of communication do we want from our public administrations and services that we have, and is the Fediverse an answer or is it just an addition to another social media circus that we're having?
I see Hans here.
Yes. So in front again, I want to encourage for after the question more.
He has long hair.
Sorry?
Or
okay, I will.
Okay, I'll combine my previous question with the new question that you asked. My previous question would be, you said that there are still European institutions posting on YouTube. And my question was, is that even allowed for them to post on closed platforms? And to answer a bit of the question just raised, I would at least want my agent institutions to post on the open web. So it's a question.
So, the European Data Protection Supervisor is not denying to institutions the use of YouTube. What we encourage is that it should be possible for citizens to access all the relevant publications, including videos of EU institutions, without being subject to terms of use of private companies. Why? There's this idea of free consent. And in the moment where I really want to see what this director of an institution has to say, but before I get the question, do I agree with the terms, it is unclear whether that content can still be considered free. And that is why we would call out organizations who make relevant videos only available on YouTube. But we already can report that in the last years, many institutions have learned the lessons, and much of the content, if not all of the content, including the videos, is indeed now also available on channels that do not require to accept private terms of use.
Okay.
One question here. Yes. Thank you. If we are looking at what is happening in France right now, even legal parties don't quite understand media, society, internet, social networks, and they appear to not understand like anything about digital media. Is it a good idea to let governments have any say in communications whatsoever? It's kind of an extreme standpoint, but just throwing it in there.
So we get back to the question of the mandate of public institutions.
Yes.
So I think, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I have to say. I studied physics and computer science. I understood so far from my colleagues that most of the organizations can rely on the transparency obligations that they have. That means to meet these transparency obligations, it seems very plausible that a website would be nice, maybe a newsletter. It can include videos. And then the details are not set out. There are no, to my understanding, no case law how transparent you have to be, what are the minimum requirements. And I feel that still there is a thinking that with more attention, there is more relevance, possibly more budget once there is another negotiation, which is why all the institutions, and I'm generalizing here on purpose, feel that with more attention of the public society, of the public in general, they will be able to do more, to get more staff and fulfill better their mandates. And whether this is now a necessity or if there can be an alternative to it, this is not the job of the data protection authorities to find an answer. I think this is much bigger. And that's also what I wanted to say again towards those conventional media platforms. So far, all the governments are using YouTube. I remember that there was a scandal recently because of a deepfake that was portraying the German chancellor in a video. And people in the government were worried that this can be confusing. But why can it be confusing? Because everyone finds it now normal and has this expectation in mind that it is plausible that the governments are using YouTube for official messages. So I think this is something that we all take for granted. For me, personally speaking, this is not so clear whether this was in the end, that this is in the public interest, that the citizens can expect public messages on all channels, because it makes the verification whether this is authentic content indeed much more complicated. And this is, to come back to the initial pilot project EU Voice, also a strength here. When you go to, when you see a tweet from an account that ends on europod.eu, you can be sure that this is an authentic account. And I think this is one of the strengths that the Fediverse can offer here, that we can use the principle that we have established before. When an email address ends on europod.eu, it is an official email address. When the email address ends on bund.de, it is a German public servant. And with the use of shared IT infrastructure on the same domain for everyone, it is not so easy any longer. And we give this idea of who is verified and who is not to a private organization. We outsource that. And with the Fediverse, we have the opportunity to bring that back. I don't want to deny that there are many questions that are still open, and we will figure out in the future whether the Fediverse can be a good alternative for all use cases. So when we think of the elections, and that will create some voices that are borderline legal or already beyond. And I wonder really, and I'm a bit worried as well, if the local admin teams with a little funding of the various Fediverse servers will be able to keep the network clean. But this is not only for the data protection authorities to find here a sustainable solution. I think the technology has a lot of potential. I think it solves a lot of compliance issues that public organizations face at the moment. And then there must be also the spending into the new infrastructure, possibly supported by the public service. And I can report that the European Commission has been in the past funding Fediverse projects. They were funding Mastodon and I think also PeerTube. Very happy about this, and now we are consuming the fruits of this funding. But at the moment, there is not so much funding for the operation of those services, and this is a question that still needs to be answered. If ever we wanted to reach for much higher user numbers, that will then, I guess, inevitably lead to use cases that at the moment not so much a problem.
But may I ask, because you're pointing at the fact that probably regarding the elections, lots of things are going wrong. So actually, we all know.
And what is then a solution? Because there, we have elections, you know. It's your question as well. You know, we have a government. You believe in democracy in this government or not? So,
I think what I would like to know as well, to bring it maybe away from only this EDPS pilot project, but the question of moderation is a thing that is omnipresent within Mastodon instances, Fediverse instances in general. And the question how to do moderation on scale is a thing. And I think as well, one of the obstacles that a lot of people see that they have to do this. And I would like to know what maybe the panelists are thinking about moderation issues of the Fediverse in general, what the current debates and discussions are, and what are interesting points. And the other, maybe the other thing as well as, is moderation possible on that scale in general?
I don't think that I'm in a position to answer whether moderation is possible in the Fediverse.
But you did run an instance. Did you have moderation issues?
So I can tell you that there is a gentleman agreement that all the public bodies who use EU Voice have to take care that all the public they post or the posts that they do are legal. So far, the EDPS did not require to ban postings of the Commission or the Court of Justice because we were contesting the legality of the content. But of course, that, there are comments under the postings, and especially in the first 3 days, there was content depicted in the comment section that was clearly beyond the line of what is acceptable, and that created a lot of worries. But fortunately, after then, after a few individuals basically had been blocked with the tools that the Fediverse already provides for ages, this was not a problem any longer. And there's also a debate whether it requires actually to see the comments when you go to the Fediverse page at europa.eu. If people want to see comments, they can do this on their private server. The way that the Fediverse is constructed, it means that even if the EU institutions would not allow for comments on their official pages, people could still have discussion of the content on the other Fediverse servers. And I think this is also, again, a strength because it allows for national solutions where in one country, in one server, there's a debate on a topic that can is allowed to take a different direction than maybe another in another country. So especially in Germany, we have things that cannot be said in the network, but maybe this is totally possible in another member state with another history, with another conventions and another culture, and with a Fediverse that would all be possible. So I'm full of hope that with the technology and with the spending, we can make this a success. But what I think is really important is also that the citizens make clear their expectations. So until the members of the parliament don't receive questions whether why they still have to watch videos on YouTube, and I'm not speaking about members of a particular parliament here, I think people will not prioritize these problems. And there are so many other problems, especially when it comes to data protection, that we tend to focus also on those problems that receive a lot of complaints, where there is media attention, where there are scandals already. So I can only recommend to every one of you, if you feel that you do not want to use that channel with your public body, with your member of the parliament, please send them a message and let them know. Also let data protection authorities know when you think that content is not free any longer and that you have to give away more data that you feel is necessary in order to profit from the transparency that public organizations shall offer.
So actually where we're ending is a call for action regarding our new parliamentary people. There is one person who wants to ask a last question.
I think we don't have time for questions at the moment, so.
Okay, so what the call here is actually to take action regarding the elections in 6 months, and I think we should continue that kind of discussion about ideas around campaigning towards making these parliamentary people aware about the needs here. Is that the solution?
I think one of the things that everybody who wants to have public access to official communication should start and ask their representatives to not use big platforms and to maybe think about integrating alternatives. And everybody can, of course, write to their representatives, but the other thing is also that we need to stand together as this group of people that we are here at Congress. There's a lot of people who do Fediverse stuff, there's a lot of people who do Fediverse integration, so let's stand in solidarity with each other and build it Banden.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for explaining us the whole situation and the future, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me, and please follow us in the Fediverse, follow the European Commission, they will appreciate it, follow the EDPS, and yeah, let's see how this project evolves. Next year we will know more.
Thank you to everybody here. Thank you.